Blood Orange, starring Iggy Pop, voiced by Neville Watchhurst, music by Walter Mayer. A luxurious modern house stands isolated in its palm-fringed compound in a semi-arid landscape beneath sun-drenched blue sky. Bottles of pills lie scattered on a bed. A skinny older man with lank blonde hair shakes pills onto his extended tongue. He now slides open a French window and stares out. A lizard suns itself on a rock and then skitters for cover. A booted foot crunches down on a bone-dry track. The skinny man, a rifle slung on his shoulder, a wide-brimmed hat on his head, and his eyes behind dark glasses, climbs to the top of the path and pauses to take a final drag on his cigarette. He now tosses the butt onto a rock and urinates on it, doing up the fly buttons on his figure-hugging jeans. He turns and walks onwards across dusty, flat ground. He shrugs the rifle off his shoulder and comes to sit down on a rock. Back at the luxurious house, an attractive young woman dressed in a thin wrap gets up from a sun lounger. She looks towards where a man is cleaning the swimming pool and with a sly smile removes her sunglasses. Removing her semi-transparent wrap, she reveals her naked body and dives provocatively into the pool. The man wielding the pool net casts a constrained look in her direction. She swims underwater, then surfacing, flicks a look at the pool cleaner who does his best to continue working regardless. She reaches the end of the pool and, hauling herself up to rest on her elbows, eyes the man flirtatiously. The skinny man out in the scrub now removes his sunglasses as he spots a rabbit grazing at a distance. He raises the rifle somewhat inexpertly to his shoulder and peers through the sights. His shot goes wide and the rabbit bounds away, leaving the man, his face long and blank, staring after it with a burnt-out gaze. He shrugs minutely with his eyebrows and raises his face to the sun. At the pool, the woman twirls her body through the water and comes to rest against the side by the cleaner.
Adios, Mrs. Abel. I finish now.
Did I distract you, David?
No. No, miss. The pool is clean. I see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, David.
Hasta luego.
Isabel remains leant against the poolside, watching him archly as he leaves. The skinny man, sat back down on his rock, continues to hold his face raised to the blazing sun. He now drops his head and looks around. He now cuts a blood orange into quarters with an Opinel clasp knife and thirstily sucks out the juice and flesh from one of them. The young woman pours red wine from a decanter into an elegant stem glass and raises it to her now vividly red lipsticked mouth. She looks down at the stylishly laid dinner table in the minimalist modern house, the walls of which are hung with bold contemporary artworks, then turns away. The skinny man plays the piano with his sinew-roped fingers. She enters the room where stands the upright piano, her wineglass still in her hand, and looks down at the man. He finishes the phrase of music and turns rather lugubriously to her.
Dinner's ready.
His leathery face creases into a conspiratorial smile. They sit together at the candle-lit table.
You look lovely tonight.
It's a shame you can't actually see a thing, because I do in fact look lovely tonight.
I know you do. You smell like you're in heat.
Bill.
I bet you aren't wearing any panties either.
And we have to wait and see.
Why wait?
Because I haven't finished eating.
That was a good chicken stew.
It was rabbit.
Rabbit.
Mm-hmm. You can't say you didn't like it. You ate every bit.
You fucking bought rabbit.
Babe, being ridiculous.
Never buy, rabbit.
You're being an ass, Bill.
Yeah, well, one of these days I will shoot a fucking rabbit. Kiss me.
They kiss lasciviously. She now gets up and embraces him from behind before taking his hand and pulling him to his feet, wrapping her arms around him, a long slim cigarette between the fingers of her right hand. He reaches pills down from a medicine chest. They dance airily by the dinner table, this intercut with his dosing himself with a battery of medication. Bare-chested in the bathroom, he now swigs from a medicine bottle. The scene of them dancing ever more intimately continues.
Please remember, I still want you.
She stubs out her cigarette and allows herself to be drawn by his wafty dancing through glass doors into the house, where he holds her more and more closely. He now emerges from the bathroom to where she is sat up in bed, wearing rather academic-looking horn rims and reading a hardback book.
So, do you want to fuck him?
She looks at him as he flops onto the bed, then removes her glasses and lays aside her book.
Do you?
Yes. Shouldn't I?
Sure. Good body. Probably jerks off in front of the mirror. Yeah.
Oh,
get in this way.
Are you jealous?
I'm not jealous of a moron with good abs. I got good abs anyway.
You're jealous.
I'm not jealous. I don't have to like the handsome little shit.
I just want to play with him a little.
She now stands outside in sunshine, leant up against the wall of the house, taking it from behind from David. She turns to him with a look of cool appraisal.
You have to do better next time.
She walks away, leaving him looking crestfallen. Bill sits on the veranda playing a huge saxophone while Isabel reclines in a bikini on a spotless white sofa. David is back on pool cleaning duty. Out in the scrub, flies buzz around the corpse of a small mammal. Isabel, still in her bikini, drapes her shapely body onto a sun lounger on the other side of the pool from David, who casts her a longing look. Bill now plays the piano indoors, then picks up an electric guitar. He jots notes on a musical score. While Isabel reclines in the sun, Bill experiments with the controls of his guitar and works at a computer screen, an open half bottle of scotch at his side. David climbs stone steps in the garden, carrying tools on his shoulder. Isabel raises herself to cast a look in his direction.
David.
He lays down his tools and walks around the edge of the pool to where she lies face down and now topless.
David, I left my sunglasses and my book inside. Would you mind getting them for me?
See, your sunglasses and your book.
Thank you.
David walks up to the house and enters through the French windows, where he finds the required items on a table just inside. He pauses momentarily, casting a look towards where the music is coming from, and then heads back out. Bill lies as if spark out, his head back on the music room desk. Isabel sits up, concealing her breasts with one hand as she peers down towards the road up which a silver people carrier is now approaching the house. She climbs the steps to the music room.
Someone's coming.
What, here?
You expecting anyone?
I'm not here.
I wish you'd change your mind.
We're right, baby, that's the deal.
He kisses her and walks out. She has noticed the calendar sat on the shelf, most of the days of the month firmly crossed out except for the 30th, which is ringed in red. David returns to the poolside. He looks all around, then places the book and sunglasses on Isabel's lounger. Now wearing a light dress, she comes to stand at the French windows, looking on as a young man walks up the garden path, a small holdall in his hand. Her expression reflected in the glass seems to be one of some concern. The young man saunters along the veranda, then, spotting her through the glass, casually stops and regards her. She slides open the door and he leans against the frame, removing his sunglasses. She recoils very slightly as he leans in towards her.
Surprise.
What do you want? A
cup of tea would be delightful. It's been a long journey.
He enters unbidden.
It's been a bit long. That seems to have put your mark on the place. You think you're moving on, Sid?
This is my home.
For how long? Here he's not that well.
What do you want, Lucas?
Bill, out in the scrub on his own, sits clutching a sprig of some kind of wild herb, smelling it and nuzzling it with his leathery lips. He gets back to his feet, his rifle again slung over his shoulder, and continues on in his stiff-legged gait. Spotting another rabbit, he again raises his gun and aims.
You should leave.
But I only just got here. Tell you what, when he comes back, you can tell him I've come to stay for a few days. Tell him I'm an old friend. Now, that might be a bit of a leap of the imagination. Well, how about an ex-lover? No, that might make it a bit awkward. Family. Yeah, family. You choose, brother, cousin, son-in-law. I'm sure you'll work something out.
Or what?
He slaps down a letter.
Read it.
Anna. What does it say?
It says that the will wasn't legal. That's an order into recovering the estate, and this is a request to reopen the inquest. Not so tidy after all. Not getting away with it. Oh, and this...
He pulls out a memory stick.
That's a present for your current husband. I'm sure he likes watching you perform. Or is he the jealous type?
That would just be spiteful, Lucas. He knows I have a pass. There's no need to up his nose in it. Cool. Have you just come to tell me all this, or are you here to make some kind of deal?
Oh. I am looking for so much more than a deal.
I'm finished now, Miss Isabel.
Okay, David.
Is it okay if I have a drink of water?
David suspiciously watches the silent Lucas as Isabel brings him the glass.
Is everything okay?
Everything's fine. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Now, you can say what you want, Lucas. Do your worst. See, I was honest with you from the very beginning and you didn't have any problem with it before. Your father was a great man. You were just another fuck.
I didn't come here because I like you.
You must be Lucas.
Lucas looks around as Bill slaps his kill onto the counter. Isabel stands by Bill.
We've been expecting you. So, Lucas, why don't you stay for dinner? You like rabbit? Isabel cooks a mean stew.
Lucas looks at them warily. Evening. Bill pours whiskey for himself and Lucas while Isabel cooks within earshot.
She break your heart.
What makes you think that?
Came a long way. She must mean a lot to you. Known her long?
A few years.
Long enough, then.
If you're asking if we were intimate, then yeah, we were.
Look, I know you're intimate with my wife. What I'm asking is, did you know her? Did you understand her, who she is? Because she may be a lot of things to a lot of people. But she's honest. Straight up the line. No bullshit. Which means you're either a total asshole or you're just stupid.
You've come to some pretty quick conclusions about me.
Either she was fucking you just for the sex or she was fucking you because she liked you. If she liked you and you lost her that quick, you're a total asshole. I'm guessing it was just for the sex, and you thought, could be something more. That makes you stupid. But here's me making all kinds of assumptions when I should really be giving you the benefit of the doubt. So, which is it? Asshole or stupid?
What makes you think I can't be both?
I like you. I shouldn't. Come over here, try to fuck with my wife. Probably out of some petty revenge trip. That's not very friendly. First thing I do is give you a knife.
How do you know why I've come here?
Because I can smell how stupid you are.
Isabel cuts carrots with a huge knife.
She's gonna take you for every penny you're worth. You know that, don't you?
Don't worry about me. I'm an adult.
I don't want him to stay here, Bill.
We're gonna have to be civil. Set him straight and send him home with a full stomach. He came a long way to see you.
Isabel returns to the kitchen. A log fire blazes. The trio sit at dinner. Lucas takes a forkful of stew and glances at Bill. Isabel looks on uncomfortably.
Pretty handy with a knife, eh, Lucas?
I've skinned animals before.
Yeah, huh? Just do the grunt work, eh? Every man should know what it is to hunt, to stalk your prey, to feel a connection with nature, to see that animal in your sights, and then make the decision to take its life, to administer death. Primal.
Well, it's pretty dangerous to be wandering around the hills shooting things when you're half blind.
Not for me. That's my fucking hill. So, no small talk now, Lucas. You said you came here to collect a debt. You tell me, what is it you think exactly that she owes you?
That's what I came here to discuss.
So discuss.
Lucas glances at Isabel, who stares pointedly back.
You took everything that my father should have left to me. I want that money back.
Everything he left me was his, not yours. He came from nothing. He inherited nothing. Unearned wealth is a burden that he didn't want you to carry.
How very fucking thoughtful. And tell me, just how exactly did you come to earn my inheritance? By letting an old man fuck you and think you were in love with him?
He was my husband, and he was 10 times the man that you are. You know, he left you nothing because he believed it was the only way that you might turn your life around. He wanted you to make it on your own like he did.
Lucas gets to his feet.
So, what
What's the bullshit philosophy explaining why he left nothing to my mother? His wife for 37 years. And why is 1 year with you worth more than 37 years with a woman who gave him a son?
Your mother did really well out the divorce. What he left me was his.
Okay, I don't think we're getting anywhere here now, Lucas. You had a good education. You had lots of opportunity.
Okay, what is your point?
You had a lot of culture. My point is that look at you now. After all this opportunity, what are you doing? You're clinging resentfully to this girl, hoping that she will give you something that your father never wanted you to have.
That money is mine. It would have been mine if it wasn't for her.
Oh, I don't think it was ever going to be yours, was it, Lucas? And what can you do about it now? Nothing.
It doesn't bother you that she's just after your money?
She is richer than I am. She's beautiful, she's smart, she's true. You know how hard it is to find someone to love you when you're rich? Imagine yourself in her shoes with some penniless schmuck. She buys his clothes, she takes him to dinner, she pays the bills, and all the while his balls are shriveling up because he can't provide. He's not her equal, and anything he can provide, she can pay for. So when he stops feeling like a man, and he will. Money kills love, boy. Believe me. And now that I've cleared that up for you, maybe you'll understand that you can't threaten our relationship by dragging up some shit from the past and bringing it in here. With that behind us, maybe tomorrow we can go out, you and me, and see what kind of guy Lucas really is. But till then, it's my bedtime.
He waves a single ironic finger.
Nighty-night.
Lucas glances at Isabel in distaste. She returns the look, then removes his half-empty wine glass and plate and begins clearing away the rest of the dinner things. The logs on the fire have now burnt down. Bill lies in the pure white bedroom, gazing vacantly at the ceiling. Isabel enters. He looks up at her and she drapes herself across the bed close to him.
How are you feeling?
I'm thinking.
About?
The idiot down the hall.
You feel sorry for him?
Not at all. He deserves everything that's coming to him.
Lucas lies in bed as if listening to Bill's words. In daylight, Bill crouches to adjust a wire snare fixed to a gorse stem. Lucas stands close by, the rifle slung over his shoulder. Bill finishes setting the trap and looks up at Lucas.
You didn't think I'd manage to shoot those rabbits, did you?
Does Isabel?
Might be.
Bill gets to his feet and walks away after Lucas, who ambles across the scrubland, a broken double-barrel shotgun held in the crook of his arm. Bill takes the shotgun from Lucas and aims it high in the air as if following a bird in flight. It is hard to tell from Bill's expression what has happened. He looks across at Lucas, who appears mildly embarrassed. The next shot, however, is of a bird lying dead. In the house, Isabel sits reading with a cup of coffee. David appears outside and knocks.
Good morning, miss. Would you like me to continue with the wolf?
She wordlessly takes his hand and leads him into the house. Lucas walks towards where the bird lies, crouches down and places it in the game bag he carries, while Bill stands some paces away holding the shotgun with the butt resting on the ground.
There's three more.
What, you sure there's more?
Well, not really. Sounded like five or six to me when they hit the floor.
Yeah, but there's three.
So keep looking.
Bill shows his teeth in a wry smile. Lucas, rather unwillingly, continues the search, picking up another bird and tossing it into the bag. Isabel leads David into a spare bedroom with a single and a double bed. She lets fall her diaphanous robe, revealing her naked body. David needs no instructions and eagerly pulls off his t-shirt. He gazes at her momentarily before she pushes him down onto the bed and climbs on top of him. Lucas gets a rabbit in the rifle sights.
See him?
Uh-huh.
Feel his life in your fingers.
Why'd you say that?
So you'd be aware you're taking a life. Just like I thought. You're a spoiled little rich kid without the guts to kill the food you eat. Go ahead then, prove me wrong.
Lucas grabs the shotgun from Bill.
Well, I am a notoriously bad judge of character, as my two previous wives can handsomely attest.
Lucas looks ruefully down at the mangled body of the rabbit. Meanwhile, in the bedroom, Isabel takes control, pinning David's hands down and working her groin against his. She holds a hand clamped to his face and bats his hands away when he tries to touch her, pinning them back down onto the bed.
Experience having sex with your stepmother. I guess you thought it was wrong she was with an old man.
I don't think she ever really loved him.
Well, hoodwinked by a pretty girl. What an old fool he was. And what kind of girl behave like that?
She doesn't even know what love is.
And you do.
If you paid her a daily fee, it would be a more honest transaction.
Well, that's a little unsophisticated for my taste. While you were fucking her, what did you feel for her?
I knew what she was.
Dishonest transaction. I guess you didn't offer to pay her while you were fucking her. Did she ever tell you she loved you?
No.
She never said, I love you.
No.
Did she sleep with you more than 3 times?
No. Just 3.
Did it make you feel used?
Lucas considers this. Isabel puts her robe back on. Next time, be more of a man. She goes out, leaving David looking perplexed. David now labours in the garden, his t-shirt stained with sweat, while Isabel reclines reading on a sun lounger by the pool. He picks up and hefts a pickaxe. She reaches for a cool drink in a tall glass and sips from it. He rests on the pickaxe handle and wipes the sweat from his brow. He looks across at where she lies. Hearing the piercing cry, she removes her sunglasses and gazes up at the huge bird of prey wheeling overhead. On the hill, Lucas walks up a slope, carrying both guns in his left hand. He turns to look at Bill, who hobbles up the slope behind him. Lucas wearily enters through the French windows of the house, lays the game bag down and takes a seat. Bill enters behind him, places a hand on his shoulder and takes the guns.
Have a drink, have a swim, relax, you make yourself at home. We'll eat dinner later.
Lucas remains sat there as if wondering why he has come here, while Bill carries on up to the music room, where he leans the guns against a set of shelves, limps across to rest his hands on the back of his chair, and heaves a huge sigh. Sitting down, he reaches for a bottle of pills and shakes some into his hand. He undoes the stopper of a hip flask sat on the table, tips the pills into his mouth and takes a swig from the flask to wash them down. Isabel enters, looking expectantly at Bill, who gestures for her to wait until he has swallowed.
I'm fine.
She goes back down the stairs while he remains there, subsiding into his chair. Lucas makes a call by the pool.
They're just being weird, you know? They took me and they cooked me a meal. Well, I haven't said how much I want yet, but... Oh, come on. Do you know how long ago it was? It meant nothing then, and nothing's happened since. God's sake. Of course it's the only bloody reason I came here, is to get the money to look after us. I don't know how many times I've got to go over the same fucking thing over and over again.
I know, I can hear.
Yeah. So you better go and feed her.
All right. Well, I'll let you know if anything changes. I love you too.
He hangs up sadly. Lizards dart around on a warm rock.
Why does the sun keep on shining? Why does the sea rush to shore?
Bill sits slumped in his chair. Isabel stands smoking by the pool while David banks earth at the side of a pathway. Bill lies dozing in his bed in daylight. Lucas stands aimlessly, drink in hand, on the poolside. He crosses and sits, leaning against the white sofa. Isabel passes him on her way to the pool, dressed in a lacy bikini. She does not acknowledge him, but the way she lithely enters the water and starts to swim appears calculated. Lucas slips his sunglasses back on and observes her from behind the dark lenses. David leans on the handle of his pickaxe, watching her also. As Isabel reaches the far end of the pool by Lucas, David lets fall his pickaxe and walks towards her. She turns, standing up in the water and adjusting her bikini top under Lucas's dour gaze, then swims briskly back the length of the pool, pulling herself up to sit on the wall, by which David now crouches down to talk to her.
Yes?
Can I talk with you? I don't want to lose my job. I need the money.
It's okay, you're not going to lose your job. He understands me.
He doesn't get it. Angry.
You're not going to get fired because I decide to sleep with you. Okay?
Lucas watches as she holds up three fingers, reducing this to one.
One more.
No more.
Better make it count.
She gets back into the pool, watched by Lucas. Bill lies in bed still, seeming to sleep fitfully. Lucas and Isabel sit alone at the dinner table, she gazing wistfully at Bill's empty place. He perseveres with his food despite the heavy atmosphere Isabel gives off. As he busies himself to eat something with his fingers, she casts him a look from beneath her brows. He now flops down on a sofa, drink in hand.
What is it going to take for you to go away and leave us alone?
Just give me what's mine.
How many times do we have to go through this?
Fine. I'll see you in court.
We have been very reasonable and accommodating with you. Don't be arsy.
You threatening me? Or does it just sound that way out of your cheap mouth?
Oh, fuck you.
You see, you can't sound like a lady when you're pissed off.
You're a fucking snob.
Just what, every time we have a conversation, it always turns into an argument because you're so sensitive about being common.
You just don't need to be so spiteful.
Anyway, are we even having a conversation about anything here? Because to me, it just seems fucking obvious. You stole my inheritance. I want it back.
You know, you really, really should leave. There is no way this is going to end happily.
Bill wants this resolved. Bill wants me to stay.
She smiles wryly.
Fine. Stay.
She walks out.
He can't hurt you. Lawyer told you that.
Not 100%.
You're safe. Those letters are just requests and challenges. No evidence, no substance. It's a bluff.
He came a long way just to bluff.
I have a plan. Trust me.
You okay?
I'll be fine.
She lies against his chest, caressing his shoulders. Morning. Lucas ambles into the kitchen where Isabel is preparing breakfast on a tray.
Where's Bill?
He'll be up later. It's not such a good day today. He's old.
She pours him coffee and he spreads jam on a piece of toast. She stands, coffee cup in hand, looking at him.
Look, I understand you hate me. I know you feel betrayed by your father and by me, and I'm sorry that you're hurting.
Is Bill talking?
Bill thinks I should offer you half. I said that wouldn't satisfy you. Am I right?
And make me an offer and see.
Can't we just forget about the past and talk like adults?
I'm here because I'm thinking about the future, not the past.
She spots the wedding ring he fiddles with.
He got married. You love her.
Do you care?
Is she pregnant? And this is how you plan to provide for them?
Don't you think he'd have wanted to provide for his grandchildren?
I think he'd have wanted you to get a job.
You're supposed to be making me a deal.
No, you should be grateful to Bill because he actually likes you. For some reason. I wouldn't give you the time of day.
Actually, you liked me too once.
Mm-hmm. Till we started fucking.
Till we stopped fucking.
David appears on the veranda carrying a coil of hose. Isabel looks across at him. Lucas follows her look and seems to exhale knowingly. She turns to him.
Look, stay a while and let's figure this out like grown-ups.
I'm not going to back down. I came here to get what was mine.
Not because you still want me.
You're married, Isabel. You should behave like it.
Be a good and faithful wife. Have babies, keep house. Is that what you want? Another fantasy you can't live up to.
She picks up the tray and walks out, leaving Lucas looking very disgruntled. She climbs elegant, shallow white marble steps and enters the bedroom. Hearing the shower running, she places the tray onto the bed and, seeming concerned, moves towards the bathroom. Bill sits woozily beneath the stream of water from the shower. She comes to his side and takes him in her arms, cradling his head as if checking that he is all right, heedless of the fact that she is getting soaked herself. Bill barely responds, remaining sat with his hands trailing on the tiled floor. Lucas sits finishing his coffee and looking far from happy. He finally turns his sullen gaze towards the window. Out in the garden, David is working.
David? Got a message for you.
David crosses to the wall of the sunken garden on which Lucas hunkers down so they are face to face.
I know what's going on between you and Isabel. She hasn't said anything. You know her three times, two times, one times, bollocks. If you do what she likes, she'll give you as many times as you want.
Lucas beckons David closer, who steps meekly forward so that Lucas can talk low in his ear. David puts his hands into his pockets and appears thoughtful as Lucas gets to his feet and strolls back towards the house. Isabel comes down the stairs dressed for swimming and exits through a sliding glass door. In the bedroom, Bill sits slouched on the bed, shaking pills from a bottle. He raises these lackadaisically and puts them into his slack mouth. He then leans onto his side, contemplating the rest of his medication. Lucas wanders into a secluded corner of the garden, his phone in his hand. Casting a glance back over his shoulder, he sits on a section of rough stone wall and makes a call.
Hi, darling.
Bill lies sprawled catatonically across his bed. David walks by the edge of the pool with a somewhat sinister air, watching as Isabel launches herself in and energetically swims. David takes the top off a large bottle of water and drinks from it as Isabel returns down the length of the pool. He eyes her darkly.
She's a bitch. She doesn't deserve a penny of it. I told you, when I get back, it's all going to be okay. I made you a promise.
Bill has now got under the covers and lies dozing. Lucas has finished his phone call and heads slowly back. Isabel has got out of the pool and is drying her hair. David grabs her.
David! No! 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 No!
Roused from sleep by Isabel's screams, Bill gets out of bed and crosses to pick up the shotgun leant against the wall. David continues ravishing Isabel on the sun lounger.
Hang on!
Bill purposefully descends the stairs, gun in hand. Isabel finally manages to beat off David's advances. David steps backwards, spotting Bill aiming the gun. Lucas spins round on hearing the shot. David clutches at his blood-soaked abdomen. Bill's second shot catapults David backwards into the pool. Lucas runs to the poolside, clutching his head in panicked anguish.
It's all right. This is better than all right.
Where are you going? What are you going to do?
Bill escorts Isabel back into the house and sits her down on a sofa, bending over her solicitously and kissing the top of her head.
It's going to be all right.
Lucas rushes in and begins dialing frantically out on the landline until Bill knocks him out with a blow to the head with a shotgun butt. Bill stands looking down dourly at Lucas's inert body. A full moon hangs low in the milky blue sky. Lucas comes round, bound with rope to a single bed. As he struggles in vain to free himself, Lucas becomes aware of Isabel sat quietly in a chair by the foot of the bed holding the gun.
Smokey. Untie me. Let me go, Isabel, can you?
I can't do that. You'll call the police again.
Of course I'm going to call the police. There's a man dead outside.
He tried to rape me.
What are you doing? What the fuck?
She forces his right hand onto the stock of the shotgun as if to ensure his prints are on it.
Then you came to my rescue and you killed him for me. It's just your word against ours now.
You're framing me.
She sits on the bed and leans against his chest to speak to him.
It doesn't have to be this way. Just consider it our security.
She picks up his bag and starts throwing its contents onto the floor.
What are you doing, Isabel? Isabel, what are you planning? Isabel, can you just tell me what you're going to do, please?
I'll leave that to Bill to explain.
She drapes a white duvet over him and again leans over. He winces as she gently touches the broken skin on the right side of his head.
Do you want a drink of water? Okay, well, try to sleep. I'll check on you in a bit.
She walks out, leaving him lying in the semi-darkness, contemplating the mess he's in. The clean lines of the brightly lit house are framed by intense darkness. Isabel sits in the kitchen drinking whiskey and examining a passport. Bill picks up his hat.
Bill, you can't drive all that way. You'll crash.
I'm going to be fine.
Please, I'll go.
You can't go. They won't trust you. It's got to be me.
Then I'll go with you. I'll drive.
I see better than you think. Trust me. You need to stay here with him. Now you know the plan.
I don't want you to do this.
I don't have a choice. You knew this was coming.
She pulls him to her and rests her forehead against his.
How long will you be gone?
I'll be back tomorrow. Don't untie him. You can't trust him yet.
I love you.
She shuts the door of the white Rolls-Royce, which Bill now drives out through the gateway. The point of view from the driver's seat is an out-of-focus blur reflecting Bill's impaired vision. Isabel turns away. She now stands in the shallow end of the pool, struggling to haul David's body out. She slips and falls onto her backside in the water, then gets to her feet, glancing slyly towards the house to which she now heads off. She turns on the light in the room where Lucas lies, and carefully wrapping the shotgun in a towel, comes to stand at his side.
Let's get this clear. If you run, you've got no chance. No money, no passport. You'll be stuck in a foreign country and you don't speak Spanish. I'm telling you this because I don't want to keep you tied up, but I don't want you to run away. I need your help. I didn't want for this to happen. It doesn't matter if you believe me. It only matters that you understand the situation. If you run, they will find you, and you'll be convicted of murder. I want the body out of the pool. Will you help me?
Blood swirls around the drainage hole on the pool floor. Lucas drags David's body out of the water and along the poolside while Isabel frantically scrubs bloodstains from the soaking flagstones. Lucas wanders up onto the darkened pathway beyond the pool. While Isabel continues her frantic scrubbing, Lucas picks up a shovel and begins digging a hole in the dry, stony soil. Isabel breaks off her scrubbing and is racked by sobs of what may be remorse. Lucas, seeming to spot Isabel's distress, pauses and sticks the shovel upright in the ground. He walks slowly back along the poolside, coming to stand a few feet from where she crouches on the floor. Lucas steps closer to her. He kneels and takes her gently in his arms. She clings to him as he rocks her. The water around the drainage hole is now crystal clear. In the house now, she stands at the top of the shallow marble stairs, watching him as he descends. He turns and they share a long look before she finally turns and disappears into her bedroom. He carries on down and enters his own room. The house stands in morning light. Lucas, lying fully clothed on his bed, wakes and raises himself onto his left elbow. He now walks down the side of the house towards the pool where Isabel is enjoying a refreshing dip. As he comes to sit on the huge white sofa on the poolside, she emerges from the water totally naked and calmly picks up a towel. Lucas sits slumped unhappily on the cushions, glancing at Isabel as she blithely discards the towel, wraps herself in her robe and comes to sit alongside him.
Do you think that sometimes your behaviour is a bit hard to handle?
Are you suggesting it's my fault that he tried to rape me?
No.
So what are you saying?
Maybe most of us just aren't able to deal with a woman like you.
And that makes me bad.
That makes you dangerous. Deadly. What are you planning to do with me?
Does the money really mean that much to you?
He left me almost nothing.
You think you deserved his money just by being his son? It doesn't matter to you how much pain you caused him. It doesn't matter that I loved him and that he loved me. He ended his days happy.
He ended his days in a cocktail of drugs.
You weren't there. He died happy. How much do you want, Lucas?
Wait. You're asking, seriously?
I'm asking.
I'd want everything. Everything he gave you. It's a matter of principle.
You have principles?
Yes.
How does fucking me while I was married to your father square with your principles?
Does sex mean nothing to you?
You know, most men think they can keep their emotions out of it. The trouble is that most men overestimate themselves.
Maybe they just fall in love.
whatever you think love is. That's just lust. Love isn't about fucking, you fool. And fucking isn't about love.
As I say, maybe your behavior is just a bit hard to handle.
Why am I responsible for the way that men behave around me? You do need to be a bit more discerning, I'll grant you that. Maybe I'm just still a bit in shock.
I think you're fine.
Okay. You need a way out of this. And we can give you that. Money. New identity. Leave your old life behind you. Let the Lucas that arrived here take the blame for the murder and let him disappear forever.
And if I say no? If I wait for the police and tell them the truth? It's only your word against mine.
Two against one. And Bill is very well respected. Plus, you're the one with the motive. The police will come when we're ready. It's all being taken care of right now.
So that Bill is taking care of it.
Think about it, Lucas. What have you got to lose?
He throws her a sultry look and turns away. Lucas pulls out his ringing mobile and looks at the caller ID while Isabel sits smoking and looking up at him. Bill drives the Rolls-Royce at a sedate pace along an unmade road. On the passenger seat sits a padded envelope from which protrudes what appears to be a gun. Lucas comes to stand by David's freshly filled grave. He now stands musingly drinking something, looking out over the landscape. Bill continues driving. Isabel lies on a lounger in sunshine tempered by a light breeze. Layered cloud drifts across a vast sky. In the house, Lucas opens a cupboard, contemplating serried ranks of various types of stem glasses and tumblers. He now sits on the marble stairs, necking claret from a bottle. He now sits slumped in a chair in the living room, the bottle in his hand nearing empty. Clearly now very drunk, he levers himself up out of the chair and shambles away. The Rolls-Royce swings a left in darkness. The calendar, scrawled over with crosses and the red-ringed 30th, stands on the shelving in Bill's music room, into which Lucas now ambles, swigging from his bottle. He looks blearily around at the contents of the room and then crosses unhurriedly to the main desk and picks up the score on which Bill has been working. Isabel comes into the room dressed in a blue frock.
It's rude to go through other people's property.
I think we're beyond the usual polite conventions, don't we? Aren't you bored here? What do you do all day? Swim? Sunbathe? Eat? At least he's got a hobby.
It's not a hobby.
Oh, what is it? Is it his grand opus? Bit of serious music to give back to culture after riding the commercial gravy train for so long.
Oh, and your contribution to civilization so far...
Yeah, I'm a nobody. Not a great artist or a famous musician. Never really stood a chance, did I?
Have you been drinking all day?
What else is there to do here but drink and swim? And fuck. I mean, that's literally all you do here, isn't it? And fuck people's lives up. I mean, did he have a family? Did he have a father? A mother? A girlfriend? You don't consider the consequences of your actions.
Oh, and you do.
Me? No. I'm just a spoilt little prick who had everything handed to him on a plate and then stolen away again.
He pursues her down the stairs and through the house, grabbing her and pushing her up against a bookcase.
You've ruined my life once before. And now you want to do it again.
I'm giving you a new life. A new start.
If I let you frame me for murder, I could end your life right here. Would be an infinitely better place.
Bill fells him with a kick.
You should have said yes. Why, you thought you had a choice. And get up. Come with me. You need to consider your situation here, son. You're screwed. There's your way out right there, just how she offered it to you. Now, why did you refuse?
I was waiting for the catch.
Okay, let's not disappoint you. Tie him up.
A huge pile of money sits on the table.
Should have just said yes. I have plans here.
Isabel binds Lucas's wrists tightly behind him while Bill holds him at gunpoint.
We took the body out of the pool.
Fuck!
The body's got to stay in the pool. It's all been worked out that way. Cut him loose, he's gonna put it back in the pool.
Isabel cuts Lucas's bonds with a pair of pointed scissors, which she inadvertently drops by his side. As she crosses to embrace Bill, Lucas surreptitiously palms the scissors. Out in the darkened garden, Lucas now begins to dig up the grave while the other two look on.
Be careful. Don't damage him. Use your hands. It's about time you started getting your hands dirty. I'm gonna have to hose him down.
While Lucas digs with his hands, Isabel goes to pick up the nozzle of the hose.
Later tonight, the police are gonna arrive. And when they do, they're gonna find two bodies. Question is, which two? Now pick him up.
Lucas glares resentfully and desperately at Bill, but stoops to begin trying to dislodge David's body from what was clearly an extremely shallow grave. Lucas manages to drag David's body out. Bill stands ready with the hose.
Hold him still. The trouble with you, Lucas, is that you're not a real killer. You saw that when you couldn't kill a rabbit. That was very disappointing. Now I'm gonna have to motivate you.
Bill turns the hose on Lucas.
You're gonna kill me. Just get it over with.
No, Lucas, you haven't been listening. You're gonna have to kill again. You see, I'm dying. And I'm not gonna fade away like some old man suffering to the end. You've come along at a very useful time. And so, given the situation you find yourself in, you're gonna have to man up. If you want to be the one who survives. Now put the body back in the pool.
Lucas struggles to drag David's body across the dirt towards the pool.
Help me wait. At least until tomorrow.
It's gotta be tonight. It won't work if too much time passes. But I'm ready.
Bill kisses Isabel briefly. David's body now floats on the blue-tinged surface of the pool. Lucas stands grimly looking down at the water. Bill and Isabel stand a few feet away on the poolside.
So, here's the offer. You kill me. You get the passport, the cash. You start over. A whole new life. With or without that wife and kid.
What if I refuse?
Then I shoot you, you fucking idiot. Go and get him the gun. He has to do it with the same weapon.
Isabel goes off towards the house, leaving the two men stood in gloomy silence.
What's wrong with you?
Leukemia, among other things.
Why didn't you just kill yourself?
Well, that would just fuck up the insurance, wouldn't it? Would I leave her? She's gonna be unbelievably rich.
You don't need to worry about her.
Yeah, but I do need to know she's safe from you. And you won't bother her again.
I can promise you that you'll be dead. Somehow I don't think you're gonna trust me.
Shit, that's true.
Lucas now addresses a video camera.
My name is Lucas Carver. And this is my confession. I came here to get my revenge on the bitch that stole my inheritance. When I got here, she was fucking another man on the side, so I killed them both. And I would have killed her too, but... I'm gonna show them the gun you got to my head. Does a confession at gunpoint still count?
It does when I show them this. Because you came here with another passport ready to escape into a new identity. You came here prepared.
Is that enough?
Well, it means that your new identity is fucked if Isabel ever decides to use this tape.
You are two fucked up people.
We're fucked up. You know, those lawyer letters I gave you were enough. Why did you have to drag up a sordid little sex tape as well? That was just mean.
What do you mean, the letters you gave me?
There was no problem with the inquest. There was nothing invalid in that will. All the letters you got, those are all made up. I guess you thought it was just your good luck that they arrived on your doorstep. No, I arranged for that. It was all fake, a trick to get you here. But you had to add this.
He tosses down the memory stick.
In a way, I'm kind of glad you did, because I got to know you better. And I know that the money I give you is going to weigh down around your neck to the end of your life. And I couldn't leave her knowing that there's a vengeful nut job out there who's still obsessed with her. Lucas. What did you think was going to happen when you got here? Did you think she would leave me for you? That would have been quite the perfect scenario if you were the kind of man she could love. But you're not. You never will be. And now you can't try to fuck her life up anymore. She's safe from you. So, have you decided? Is it kill me? Get the cash, disappear forever? Or do I have to kill you? That's not much of a choice, I know. Still, which is it?
Give me the fucking gun.
Bill. Not yet.
Bill glances at where Lucas sits, glowering, tied to the upright of the canopy shading the huge white sofa, then allows himself to be led away towards the house by Isabel. Lucas remains staring bleakly at David's floating corpse. Isabel leads Bill, still clutching the shotgun, into the house and sits with him on a sofa.
This is it. I love you. You made me a happy boy.
She embraces him.
You're a good soul.
She strokes aside his hair, holding his face and smiling into his eyes.
Everything hurts. Can't stand it anymore. I gotta go. You're gonna miss me.
She kisses him and embraces him again. Now back at the poolside, Isabel releases Bill from an embrace and goes to stand holding the pistol to Lucas's head. Bill hobbles around to sit on a lounger facing Lucas. He breaks the shotgun and inserts one of two cartridges, pocketing the second.
One should do it.
Bill hands Isabel a knife, gesturing to Lucas.
Free up one hand.
She cuts one of the pull ties, binding Lucas's wrists.
Well, a moment of truth is finally come. So it's time to kill me. Tell me, Lucas, you got what it takes. You got the...
Bill is catapulted back onto the sun lounger and lies still. Lucas closes his eyes bitterly. Isabel stares grievingly at where Bill lies, blood dripping from his motionless hand, then comes around to face Lucas.
How long do I have before you call the police?
That was never Bill's plan.
She raises the pistol.
Oh, you fucking bitch. This is your plan. You don't deserve any better.
Look, I'm closer. You're shaking like a leaf.
As she does so, he stabs her with the scissors and kicks her into the pool.
No!
Lucas uses the scissors to cut the second pull tie, then staggering to his feet, he grabs the shotgun and the second cartridge from Bill's pocket and slots it into the breech. Aiming it at the pool, he scans the surface but cannot make out any sign of Isabel. Firing his sole cartridge to the left of David's body, his expression now becomes quizzical as he seems to detect some movement. David's hand is slid aside, revealing Isabel still clutching the pistol aimed at Lucas. Riddled with bullets, Lucas slumps to the floor. Isabel surges vengefully up out of the water, her blue frock clinging to the contours of her body. Lucas writhes on the flagstones as Isabel comes to stand by him briefly before moving on. As she walks away into the darkness, Lucas seems to breathe his last. Isabel slides open one of the French windows and slowly enters the house, laying the pistol down on the phone table, picking up the old-fashioned black landline handset and dialing out. She engineers some tears. Yes, police. My husband has been murdered. She lays the phone aside without hanging up. Her hand hesitates momentarily over the gun, but instead she picks up a white mobile phone which resembles Lucas's. Glancing back out towards the pool, she exits. She now arrives at the poolside. Holding a hand over the stab wound in her side, she walks to stand near where Lucas lies dead. She calls out on the mobile and puts it to her ear.
It's done.
She lets her hand fall and stands stock still, gazing out over the shimmering pool in which floats David's body. The end.
When I need a friend, I look into your eyes. Then I won't see the end. I won't hear goodbyes. Don't call the curtain, 'cause nothing's certain. Command and energy. Can you remember the old familiar? The best things in our life were free. Money kills love, boy. On that I know we are agreed. It finally left me. I grew up justified, but the win was not to be.